You're listening to The After Session with Philip Lewis. I'm a therapist based in Washington, D.C., and I hope to provide my perspective on work done throughout the therapeutic process. Some of what you'll hear will be interviews with other mental health professionals or former and current clients. In this case, these interviews are voluntary, not conditional to the status of a person presently in therapy, and those interviews are not considered a therapeutic session or recommendation for forms of treatment. If you are interested in starting your therapeutic process or engaging in a protocol or technique referenced, please make sure you contact your mental health or medical provider. Thanks for listening. I wrote a piece about how folks show up in the world and adjust to their environments, as opposed to requiring the environment around them to just adjust to who they are. And in my mind, well, I guess to be nice, I don't know. I think that this is a message for everyone, right? We all should feel this. We all should try to make sure we're showing up as our authentic selves and allowing those who love us, allowing those who support us to stick around and adjust to who we are in that moment. Or
it's easier for some people to do that than others.
Yeah, and that's my point. I initially thought, oh, this should be for everyone, but then I was like, nope, that's me thinking that everybody can, because not everybody can, particularly women. I think that it is more difficult for a woman to show up authentically as she wants to and require others to either get on the train or catch the next one, basically, is how I surmise it. So tell me, honestly, how is it being a woman and showing up authentically?
How is it being a woman? Just leave it at that. Oh, yeah. And I could just talk for about a century. I mean, I feel like it starts from such a young age, right? Young girls are called bossy when young boys are called leaders, mm-hmm. or proactive. Mm-hmm. And when we talk a lot and have a lot to say, it's considered too much or annoying. When men do it, it's they have something to say. Let's right. listen to them. I mean, it starts like from so young. So we're programmed at this young age to already feel like whatever we do is not good enough or too much. I can't tell you the number of friends that I have. We all feel like we are too much a lot of the time. And we have to, society tells us to bring ourselves back a little bit, right? You know, you first start dating somebody, you can't show them you're crazy yet. You have to be this version of yourself that's a toned down, perfect version of who you actually are, because you're trying to keep them, right? You're trying to pull somebody in and then keep them based on this like idealistic version of yourself that's so not true or accurate, or maybe is, but is such a lesser version of who you actually are, versus like, I mean, I've never met a man who is not just himself. 100%. Even when he shouldn't be, mm-hmm. when he should be less of himself, they have the audacity always, but they don't think twice about it. Right. A man doesn't think twice about it. Woman thinks and overthinks and overthinks every single thing.
And then
thing.
Checks in with everyone else around.
Every single thing she says and does.
Right.
Always.
Right. So with that, men having the audacity to not think about it. I will be honest, as a therapist, sometimes I get concerned because, I don't know if you remember when we first met, you came in and I'm just like, why don't you love yourself?
You came in hot.
I came in hot. And I had to think about it because I was just like, well, for me, it's a very simple concept to just show up in the world authentically and just let the chips fall where they may. And then I had to sit back and think, is my practice sexist? Right? Me thinking that this should be a concept that I have to challenge right away and help you see, and I don't know what save you or whatever it is that's in my mind that allows me to think that it's okay for me to say, just show up authentically and let everyone adjust to you. So in a therapeutic environment, I guess at first, was that hard? Was it that in some way damaging or
it's
difficult
not,
to process?
It's not damaging. It's, and I don't think for a second that you or other men that I've talked to who have said similar things, you know, friends of mine who are men, I don't think for a second that any of y'all mean it in any sort of condescending or damaging or aggressive way. I don't think that at all. It's just something that you don't think about. I think it's perhaps akin to people who maybe don't understand their white privilege. Mm-hmm. It's just something that if you haven't experienced it, you don't think about it. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that it's damaging, but more that it's just, it's a harder question to answer. You know, so when you say to me, why don't you love yourself? I feel like I got to go back so many years and I got to go through so many different situations. And it's unique, of course, to each woman. There are plenty of women who might not have some of the issues or the things that I struggle with. And there are women that have more struggles than I do. But it's just not an easy question to answer because there are so many factors outside of just maybe like the original reason we came to therapy, right? I mean, we've already figured that out, that there are about 6,000 other things that affect me,
right,
that aren't the reason that I originally came in to get help.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So with determining or facing, understanding, whatever we want to call it, the decision to show up in the world as we want or modify because of what's happening around us or how everyone else responds, how do you keep yourself, or what does that force you to do to keep yourself emotionally and physically safe as a woman?
I feel like, to me, emotionally and physically safe are very different things. Mm-hmm. So there are like a number of logistical steps that I take to keep myself physically safe, mm-hmm, as a woman. I don't walk around alone at night. I don't usually go anywhere alone. I just recently went to the NFC Championship game at Lincoln Financial Center, I think is where the Eagles play. And I gotta tell you, if I didn't have my brother and my dad with me, I would have, and even with them there, I felt so unsafe. And, you know, people will say like, oh, well, Eagles fans are really aggressive. Okay, sure, fine. They are. Not an excuse, but the amount of the threats that I was getting to my, like, older men who were over 45 for sure, threatening a young woman, I mean, threatening anyone, but threatening a young woman in front of people who were very clearly my family members, and they, like, don't care. And, like, I talked to people afterwards, and they were, you know, oh, well, that's just like the way Eagles fans are. Okay, you don't understand, like, the genuine fear that I feel as a woman. Like, I didn't want to go to the bathroom by myself. It's that sort of, that is like a very physical fear as a woman. It was a reason we, like, all go to the bathroom together. Like, right. It's a joke, but it's because we got to keep each other safe. And of course, we have a society that says, you know, let's create things to put over our cups, mm-hmm, so that people can't put roofies in them, instead of saying, why don't we teach people not to roofie,
right,
women? That's the society we live in right now. Right. Emotionally, I think, and, you know, it differs for every woman, right? But I think it's a constant battle within myself to not judge myself or to not question everything that I say or do, like, afterwards. That's like a big thing for me and for a lot of women that I know, that we will go into a situation in the moment, everything goes fine, and then, you know, later or the next day, the anxiety kicks in. Well, was I too aggressive? Was I too loud? Did I, you know, root for my team too loudly? Was I to this, to that? And I've had friends and I who check in with each other the next day. Was I too much? That question has been asked a million times. And for me, I think the battle is, instead of asking somebody that question, thinking about, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling like I want to reach out to somebody and say, was I too much? What is it in that situation that I thought was too much, and really like think about it. Was it too much, or was it totally normal? And I'm just overthinking it because society has told me that if I don't keep my voice at this lovely, perfect, like decibel right here, that I'm crazy.
Sounds very anxiety provoking.
Oh my God. All the time. I wake up with anxiety, go to bed with anxiety.
And it's just so weird for me. And again, maybe this is just my concept of myself, narcissism, I don't know, masculinity, toxic masculinity, all those things. But it's just so weird for me to have women come in and present as anxious or have anxious type symptoms. And I literally have to explain, that's because you're a woman.
Yeah.
Not because of this thing or a biological factor, or maybe your mom was anxious and it's genetic. No, because your mom was a woman also. And she was living in a world that allowed her or made her think that she had to overanalyze her thoughts and then analyze those and then check in with someone else to make sure she wasn't overanalyzing and then show up the way that is just right, moderated, appropriate.
And I really feel for my generation's mothers, right? Because they were really going through, like, they had it worse than we did. And they didn't have anybody to talk to. They didn't have anybody to talk to about it. They didn't. So, you know, the things that my mom and I talk about now, I feel like we, you know, we have so much that we can communicate about. And I feel as if, you know, she didn't have, like, I don't know that she could go to her mother to talk mm-hmm. about these sorts of things. I don't know that she had that person to talk to. And I love that I have now that I have somebody that I can talk to about it. But I really feel for that generation, because I think the thought process was like even worse than it is now.
I think it just has changed.
What do you mean?
Manifested in other ways.
Okay.
So yeah. And maybe I'm wrong because I'm not a woman. I always say this in session. I always say it. I'm not a woman, so I don't know. This might be coming off wrong. But now there's so many reasons or things that they add to. Now there's a diagnosis. Now it's because of this. Now it's right. because of that. Now it's because of status, or you want this, or you're trying to push back against those things. So yeah, maybe the perception is the concepts aren't the same, or the box that women are put in isn't quite the box that it was back then. Mm-hmm. But I think so many other factors are now blamed to you're just not wanting to be in a box, basically. Well, so it's just manifested differently.
And now we have social media. Let's not forget about that.
Social media
makes everything about 10,000 times worse. Mm-hmm. We talked about me deleting my social media, and mm-hmm. I cannot tell you what a difference it has made mm-hmm. to not be like doom scrolling Twitter
yeah.
or going on Instagram and feeling like I'm so many steps behind all these other people. Social media makes the anxiety that maybe I was at like a 6, mm-hmm. like a 14.
Right.
Always.
Right. For everyone listening, I didn't say delete your social media. I said remove the app from your phone.
Which is what I did.
You can log on the computer if you need to. So that way you're communicating, you're engaging in these things if and when needed, not out of an automatic habit or dopamine
right.
hit, things like that. So there's some recommendations I make. But back to the emotional safety piece.
Yeah.
But we just brushed this in therapy a bit ago, where the coping skills that we use to survive situations that were put in the past, now that we're looking at those situations differently and we're no longer in them, we blame ourselves for doing certain things yeah. that we had to do
yeah.
to survive, to cope. That brought us here to the person that comes on my couch and has the conversation about the things that happened in the past. And I think before I started working, it was mostly Black men. And then when I started working with more women, which I'm going to get to asking you later why you chose me, but I didn't think about that concept. And it was through working with women that improved my clinical practice that I literally say there's nothing wrong with you. There was nothing wrong with that behavior. There was nothing wrong with that thing you did to survive that moment. Yeah. The accomplishment is you survived it. And now we can talk about it and make sure that thing you had to survive, you don't carry around with you anymore.
Yeah. But it's that feeling of of surviving makes you so anxious, right?
Right.
So again, it's a whole societal pressure of like, if you're not making the right decision, it's like the wrong decision. So there's this constant questioning of the decisions we make and then making a decision, because you just have to make one. That's like, you know, 90% of the battle is just picking and making a decision. And then that anxiety kicks in of questioning it. Was it the right decision? Did I, you know, could I have done something differently? Did I do this wrong? Did I do that wrong? When the reason you did what you did was because that's what you needed to do right in that moment. But that's so hard to realize. I mean, I had to
forgive yourself for that thing.
Today.
Yeah. Like, is it today that we spoke about it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, we did. We had a session today. Okay.
It's that it's so hard to grasp that concept that that's.
And thank yourself for surviving.
Yes, exactly. Thank yourself for making a decision that got you where you are today, for making a decision that helped you survive.
Right.
But because it in a lot of these cases, the decision came with, maybe it came with consequences, maybe it came with other struggles. Mm-hmm. It came with other people not being happy about that decision. We, I think as women, internalize that so much more. Mm-hmm. And we then think that we are the problem or that we made the wrong decision. When the truth is we did what we needed to do.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that. So yes, women have improved my clinical practice. I thank all women.
Glad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, I always wonder, because this happens, and I know some people might not believe it, but I have a very plain name, Philip J. Lewis, right? So you can assume a lot of things about that, particularly if you're just looking for a provider that matches your insurance and you don't even bother to look up my website or even like Google a picture of me or whatever it is. So I have had some women come into this office and...
assume like, you're white.
Assume, or that I'm not him. I'm looking for, come on in. How can I help? You must be so-and-so. And they're like, oh, wait, you're? Yeah, that's me. And the session shifts dramatically, you know, within that moment. So I was thinking it must be like a real conscious effort, one, for you to like stick around, and then two, for someone to actually look me up, see what I'm about, and then make the decision to come in to therapy with me, and think that a man is going to have or hold a safe space for someone who might be, I guess, dealing with anxiety that comes from being a woman. What was that process like for you, and what was the decision-making process?
Okay, so I knew.
Okay.
I knew going into it because I think your picture was on whatever like site I found. Because, like, I mean, I'll be straight with you. I was, like, looking for people that took my insurance.
Okay.
Like, who took my insurance and who specialized in the specific things that I was looking to focus on.
Right.
And you came up. Yep. And I think your photo was there. So I knew from the get-go who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had male therapists before. I've had male psychiatrists before. It's a very personal decision. I could see how I could understand women not wanting that. I could 100% understand that. But to me, there's like a couple of things. So first of all, most therapists don't, like some of the things that I've gone through and I talk about, even a female therapist is likely not going to commiserate and say, I've also been through that, and let me tell you about my experience. That's in my case, that's not happened to me before. I don't know if that's like not normal, or like the therapists that I've always worked with don't like talk about themselves. So the only reason I think that I would have really actively chosen a female therapist is if I thought that they had gone through similar things and were going to talk about specifically those things. I hear that you felt that way during that. I also felt that way during that. But I thought that that was unlikely, that was going to happen. So outside of that, it doesn't really matter to me. And like, I have, outside of the relationship type men in my life who all suck. And have all sucked. The family members that are men that I have, my friends that are men, are really great people.
Okay.
And I feel very comfortable with them. And because I grew up just with a brother and my family is very close, I, you know, grew up playing sports with my dad and my brother, and I was around them a lot. My mom has a number of brothers. It felt, I had a lot of male energy around, and it never really, like, it never bothered me. And I never felt, I guess, like I wasn't heard. So I don't, in terms of like emotional, non-relationship type, I guess, non like intimate type relationships with men, I feel very comfortable with them. So to me, that's not really an issue. I also have a past experience of being very comfortable talking to therapists. Mm-hmm. Once I get over the like hump of like, okay, you're new, let me like break down my life story, which is like always the worst. Mm-hmm. I feel it has always felt like a safe space for me. So I don't really have an issue opening up or saying I disagree. I feel like we've have that. Mm-hmm. Like I don't agree with where you're coming from, or I feel this way because X, Y, and Z. I don't have an issue with saying those things. Mm-hmm. So all of that to say, having a male therapist wasn't like, I really didn't think twice about it.
Okay.
I guess maybe I thought once, but like it wasn't really an issue.
Okay. What helps to create a safe environment around a man?
So I think the most important thing, and I say this to my my male friends as well, is acknowledging that you may not fully understand where it is that we're coming from, mm-hmm. because you don't experience it, but acknowledging that it exists and hearing us out. And I think you do a really good job of that, and even, you know, checking yourself on, hey, I'm saying this and maybe you feel differently because you're a woman. Do you like what sort of, you're really good about that. I think that's really important to feel heard, to feel like, you know, I'm not, obviously I think every client is different and everybody's got their own, everybody's unique, but women and men are very different and we're going to look at things and approach things very differently. I think it's really important to us to know that the way that we think and feel about something might be different than the way you think and feel about something. Mm-hmm. And as long as you respect that and you hear that, I think that's probably the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Thank you.
I make my male friends do that too. And if they ever say anything that feels like, I don't want to say problematic because I don't want to call anybody problematic, but they say things that
are problematic.
They say things that clearly they haven't thought about the female side of it. Mm-hmm. I check them so fast. And nobody likes it. Nobody likes me getting in their face about it, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to know.
How'd you get there? Not caring about being in some space. Challenging things.
I have this with men that I'm not interested in impressing. I just don't care.
How can you transfer that to all men?
I don't know.
Okay.
I would love to know. Okay. I would love to work that out. But I think with men that I think are just my friends, it's just I am who I am, and I've never had any issues with my male friendships. So I've been mostly myself with them, and that's never been like a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, sometimes it's other women that can be a little trickier. But I think it's because we're all dealing with
the internal.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So we're all dealing with so much more. Men are just different. So I just don't care.
You know what I think helps to not care more?
What?
Unconditional positive self-regard.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. I mean, that's it.
That's it. Okay. That's it.
I'm perfect.
Yeah, okay.
And the things I want to change is because I want to become more perfect.
Yeah.
And
but society says if I say that about myself, then I'm a narcissist.
Yeah.
And then I have too much of an ego and I need to check myself.
You know what I always say is survival, you need a couple things. Self-preservation and connection. You have to think about yourself and put yourself first mm-hmm. in order to physically and emotionally survive. And you have to connect to someone or something to physically and emotionally survive. So you have to hold yourself at the center for a while. And
it's so hard.
And everything, it'll be easier to just show up without caring. I know that that's because I'm a man probably, but that's my thought.
Even still, I find myself in the last year, I guess it's 2023 now, right? So in 2022, I still found myself doing things I didn't want to do because I was afraid of upsetting other people, mm-hmm. which is so crazy when you stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. Why would I actively do something that I know I don't want to do for the sake of somebody else's happiness?
Because you've been socialized to. That's what women are supposed to do. That is your
role. I want
role.
It out of my head. I don't want to care about anybody but myself.
We have to unlearn all of these things.
Oh, gosh. It's not easy.
And you have to just practice a little selfishness.
How do men do that so easily?
Because we're told it's okay to.
Oh, right. Of course.
That's the game that we've, all bought into.
You know what? I will say that selfishness, mm-hmm. the idea of being selfish, ties a lot into how society views women and children.
Right.
So I'm just in the last maybe, 2 years coming to terms with saying I'm selfish, therefore I don't want children right now. Mm-hmm. I like my sleep. I like traveling. I do. Mm-hmm. And I am starting to become okay with that. Mm-hmm. But I've had people tell me how could you be so selfish? Children are the greatest gift. Okay. Does that mean that I can't have me time first? Does that mean I have to find the first man that decently likes me and then just start popping out babies?
Right.
I can't have me time first. Apparently it makes me a bad person.
Mm-hmm. You texted me the other day.
Oh,
and, just for everybody listening, if you're my client, you have my number, so it's not an odd thing for her specifically to text
thank you
me
for saying that, otherwise it sounds so creepy.
All the time in between and I provide support and I have emergency protocols or whatever. I'm just that therapist that you have access to if you need me. So
I try not to text you outside business hours.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I appreciate that. So you texted me the other day. And you were apologizing for something. I don't know if you missed an appointment or...
I didn't respond to an email email or text to you.
Something, yeah. I give homework for those listening. And you were apologizing to it. And my response was, I truly believe that women probably should never apologize again. Do you remember that?
Yes, okay. I do.
Do you know why? What are your thoughts on why I might think something?
Because anything we apologize for is probably something that society put on us.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh. I mean, outside of choosing to harm people, intentionally harming people, which obviously you should always apologize for emotionally or physically. Right. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, a lot of, and I feel like I can't say everything because people would get so upset with somebody saying, oh, everything.
No one knows who you are. So everything. I believe in everything.
Sure. So. Everything that women have to say sorry for is probably something they don't actually have to be sorry for. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things. And like I said that today, one of those things that we say, I try so hard to check myself on this, but I will explain something to someone and I will know that what I said made perfect sense. Mm-hmm. But at the end of it, I will say, sorry, does that make sense? Do you want me to re-explain that? No, it made perfect sense. Every word out of my mouth made sense. But I am so programmed to need to make sure that everybody fully understands me and that I probably made a mistake.
Or didn't offend.
I should just go around offending people.
You should just go around being you.
And whoever gets offended.
Gets offended. Someone's going to be offended by anything. We can't escape not offending or hurting someone, right?
My dad used to say that when I was a kid.
All we can do is adjust.
Yeah.
And keep it moving.
Yeah. Not everybody's going to like you.
Not women. You know, women shouldn't apologize. And specifically, I always say that if there is something you should probably make amends to, I think, especially in the work environment, and I always give you work advice and then I question if I'm a sexist or whatever, but I always say, never apologize. Say, if there was something that should have been done, great. Thanks, John. Next time, this will happen.
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Don't apologize. Don't say sorry. Thanks. In the future, you can do A, B, and C, or I will do A, B, and C, because it shuts down the conversation. It stops my male mind from thinking you're wrong or you did something you're inherently, you know, broken or a woman or don't have a voice here, you know, and it reiterates the message that I'm competent, I know what I'm doing.
Right.
And your, you know, ego or your manhood or whatever it is that is spewing through this email or this conversation does not matter, because we need to stick to the facts. We need to stick to how you didn't show up or you did show up. Mm-hmm. And I'm not apologizing to you for anything. But that's just my view.
Are you on TikTok?
I don't, no.
Okay. No. So there was a TikTok trend of women emailing like men.
Okay.
And they would show the email that they had typed out. Mm-hmm. And then they would delete things to make it a man's email.
Okay.
And the difference is the level of extra politeness and care and if that's okay. And I would be so grateful if you, mm-hmm. and versus what it turns into the males, the man's email, it's person's name, need this report by, you know, and end of day, whatever.
Right.
Best person's name. Mm-hmm. And that's it. Yeah. But a woman sending it was, if it's okay with you, I would really like this report. But if you can't do it, I understand. I can pick up the slack. I can do it. It's totally fine.
Needless.
So, probably.
What's the point of it all?
Because we're so afraid of somebody thinking that we're not polite or we're not, I don't know. I mean, I get told to smile more on a regular basis. Because, like...
Do you ever ask why?
No. And you know why? Because it ties into the physical safety. When I am...
That's me being a man. I can ask why.
A lot of times, people who tell me to smile more are men at the gas station, men at the grocery store, and a lot of times it's when I'm out alone. Yeah. And that there is no world in which I am responding to a man when I'm alone at a gas station. That is 100% how you get killed.
Yeah. So men out there, do better.
Please.
And I am not one of those people who amen, because I'm obviously a man, and boy, am I a narcissist for a therapist. I'll tell you, I got some self-love that is ridiculous, okay? But we have to remember that when we are showing up in the world, there are other people who are showing up too. And as long as we do our best to make sure we don't create collateral damage, then we're being a good human. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Just ask the question, think about it a second time, and be good to others.
Take an extra thought. Something that you might not think about in a situation, just take an extra second to think about, okay, well, I wouldn't think about this, but would my girlfriend, would my sister, you shouldn't have to have a female that you care about in your life to respect women, but if that's what it takes, think about it.
We're humans. Respect life.
Yeah. Truly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. You've been listening to The After Session with Philip Lewis. I hope this time has been beneficial to you in some way. If you like some of the topics discussed, you can visit lewiscounseling.org and click on The After Session. Or follow me on Instagram at @theaftersession_. This podcast has been produced by Logan Wesley. You can follow Logan at onelawmusic.com or on Instagram at @1LAW_music. Be good to yourself.